While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take this, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the kingdom of God."
"The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." Let us pray. God of grace, through the mediation of your Son, you call us into a new covenant. Help us, therefore, to draw near with faith and to join ourselves in a perpetual covenant with you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Our two readings mention the word covenant, and it's mentioned quite a lot in both the Old and the New Testament. A covenant is an agreement of commitment between two parties. A covenant is like a marriage or a lasting binding contract. Back in the days of Moses, God made a covenant with the people of Israel. A covenant that meant that they should express their belonging to God by keeping the distinctive laws of God and showing the world a better way of living. This was to express who they were as God's people, saved and redeemed from their many slavery. Keeping the law, being God's people, should be a delight, a joy, a daily celebration of life as it's meant to be. To show how important it was, in the days of Moses, the covenant was sealed with the blood of bulls splashed on the altar and sprinkled on the people. Half of the blood was for God and half was for the people, the two halves of the covenant. In the Jeremiah reading, God expresses that for God, this covenant meant a lot. For God, this covenant meant as much as marriage. But time and time again, the people broke it. There was something missing. And that something was missing from their hearts. Being God's people was sometimes like a hard obligation, a grudging duty, rather than a living joy, the fruit of love. Many failed. And many of the leaders led the people astray. Although the way God had created for his people was good, a relationship based on grace and thankfulness and love, it became corrupted because there was often something missing from the hearts of the people. But God always imagined another time, another way, another covenant, a new covenant. When Jesus came and when he started his ministry, people could see there was something different about him, something refreshing. He was full of joy. He was content to live humbly. He seemed to have a deep and intimate relationship with God. So much so that he called God Father. or in his native tongue, Abba, more like Daddy. He spoke of forgiveness. He spoke of a new age, the kingdom of God. And he showed that God's new age was breaking in by his healings and miracles. But there was always with Jesus a sense of purpose, never staying in one place, always with an eye to the future, his own special calling, his vocation. Jesus seemed to see himself as Israel's representative, the Messiah, living the life intended for all God's people and showing them how it could be. Jesus seemed to know that his work wouldn't be finished until it was concluded in Jerusalem. And so soon into his ministry, he started to speak about his death and more besides resurrection. He had gathered his family, he had gathered his disciples around him, and they had become like a family to him, far away from the formalities of other teachers and rabbis. These 12 disciples were his friends and brothers. They were learning from him by observing what he did and saw that his actions always matched his words. So it was fitting that the meal we celebrate at every communion was a family meal, the Passover meal. A meal which itself symbolized God's loving mercy to his people, setting them free, free to be God's people. And there in the intimate surroundings of an upper room, he invited them to be part of the new thing God was doing. Take this bread. This is my body. Be part of me and what God is doing. It was an invitation shaped out of love. And then, of course, if this was the new covenant, then it would need blood. Blood to symbolize how important it was. Blood as the stuff of life, to show that this is as important as life and death. But not the blood of animals this time. He gave them wine from one of the cups of the Passover celebration, the cup of blessing perhaps, but infused it with new meaning. This is my blood. This is the only blood that will be good enough. I won't use anything else as a substitute. This is my life given for the new covenant poured out for many. And the next day, his blood was truly spilt on the cross. And with this new thing, this covenant between God and God's people made by Jesus, the usual way of sin and death was disrupted forever. He rose again. And death is defeated if we only trust in him. And what are we trusting in? I think we're trusting that he really was the Messiah, God's chosen one, our representative. And I think we're trusting that he did it all out of love. Love for God, his Father, and love for us, his children. And we're trusting that this all comes from God's never failing and faithful love. This new way of life, this new purpose, this new way of seeing the world, the new hope of life even for beyond this life. All of this is possible because God is love, and God's loving purposes have never given up on us. The death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection is the ultimate demonstration of God's love. It doesn't start with tablets of stone. It starts with hearts of love. God's heart and the human divine heart of Jesus. And it continues with our hearts. When we realize this love for ourselves, God wants us for his people. He wants us to find freedom and joy. He wants us to know forgiveness and mercy. He wants us to learn how to serve and love like he loves us, with generosity and grace. And when the Holy Spirit warms our hearts and gets this message through and lets the love of Jesus grow in us, then we can trust that giving up our selfish lives for God's purposes, living for God, only increases the blessing and increases it for eternity. Do you know how much God loves you? Do we appreciate the parent heart of God, the Father's love, the mother-like compassion God has for us? Yesterday, our Ben was in hospital. It was a scheduled operation to remove a rogue tooth that was stopping another tooth coming through at the top. It was minor, but it still involved a general anaesthetic. So it was a big ordeal. It was a big ordeal for Ben, and there were risks involved. Emily, the anaesthetist, would tell you that the risks are minimal. But as a parent, leaving your child in the hands of others, however professional, is not to be taken lightly. We put our faith in them for the operation, and we also sent our prayers up to God. And as a parent, I know that the operation was needed and was ultimately for his benefit, but I still worried. And I was very relieved to see him safely revived afterwards and then home later in the day. Ben was very brave, but if it was possible, I would have taken his place gladly and spared him that ordeal. But I couldn't. Sometimes we let our children go out to play and they come back with cuts and bruises, or they fall off a bike or get bumped at the playground. Despite our love for them, we can't protect them forever because they have to live and enjoy life and make mistakes and learn. Our love for our children wants what's best for them, even if at times it hurts. But knowing what's best for them doesn't stop the worry and the tears and the pain at times. Jesus reveals for us the parent love of God, the faithful love of God that is forever. It's faithful, it's compassionate, it's just. God's love wants what's best for us. It wants us to learn and grow. It knows that sometimes we will fall or make mistakes or need to have something painfully removed. But when these things happen, God doesn't fold his arms and say, "I told you so," or "That'll teach you." God aches and weeps and hurts. This is the real love of God that wants to melt our hearts towards Jesus. Jesus, who knew we couldn't fully make this covenant with God ourselves, and we can never fully do it. We can never fully live up to the promises we make. We can't go all the way. So the blood that was shed would not be ours. And he went himself. He stretched out his arms to embrace us and all the world. He faced the trial and torment and torture of the cross to bring us life, to bring us into God's covenant family. Because of God's faithful love, when his love reaches our hearts, how will we respond? Amen.